Welcome to the first Beef and Lamb podcast of the year. Our Sector Strategy Director, Rebecca Meir, talks to AHDB colleagues on how their work behind the scenes informs AHDB campaigns.
Hello and welcome to a very unusual 2021. I hope that people got some time with their loved ones over the Christmas and New Year period and are ready for the year ahead. This is my first podcast of the year. It probably won't be yours. But what we wanted to do today was speak to you about the AHDB Beef and Lamb focus on reputation work over the next 5 years. And I will make a note at the end about the strategy and how to input in towards there. But how we wanted to start the year is to talk about this real focus on reputation. You will see, and we'll drop a link into the notes of this podcast, that we launched in January the Eat Balance campaign. This is the first blast of a long-term piece of work for AHDB and talking across the industry, working together with all industry members to really focus in on changing those consumer attitudes and behaviours. We know people love beef and lamb. They love the taste. They enjoy it. They want to cook it. However, we need to give them that reassurance to allow them that permission to consume the products they enjoy. So Eat Balanced was launched on the 4th of January. And as I say, is the first in a long scale piece of work. Then we have a separate podcast specifically about that campaign and about how you can get involved in really supporting that reputation work, supporting Eat Balanced and telling your story within that to really influence those consumer decisions and show them what a good job we do. You can visit the campaign website by visiting www.weeatbalance.com. And we'll put a link to it in the show notes. So go on and get involved and get sharing your stories. But what we wanted to talk to you about on this podcast today is actually what's the engine behind that campaign? How do we really protect our reputation among consumers? And how do we as an industry pull together? There are two key elements that we're looking at alongside other factors that I wanted to pull out today. Firstly, we'll be looking at the environment. To be able to make those bold environmental claims around our reputation that feed that Eat Balance campaign, we need to focus on changes that we're making around the environment on farm, the science behind it, which is why I wanted to introduce John Foote as we go through this podcast to really talk about how we can make change on farm. And then we'll be looking about the insights piece. We need a really deep understanding of where our industry is changing, where we are heading, the things that we need to be prepared for to make us the most productive, profitable industry we possibly can be. And to do that, we need to do that in an informed way. And that's what our market insight can deliver. So we'll be speaking to Sarah Baker later on the podcast to really look at what those insights can bring to us. Now I want to speak to John Foote. He heads up our environment team at AHDB, and we're really focusing on those environmental challenges that farmers face and that are constantly in the press, because we know there's a positive story for our farmers to tell and great changes that can be made. Particularly in the light of the new ELM scheme, John, can you tell me what AHDB are working on?
Thank you for the introduction, Rebecca. Yes, so AHDB will be focusing on support for the industry in meeting the challenges of the environment and climate change. And this includes working towards net zero carbon targets, helping farmers and growing businesses to reduce their environmental footprint, and also working on evidence. And that's to help farmers understand where they are at the moment, help demonstrate that the industry as a whole is moving from an established baseline that we will help develop and moving towards that net zero endpoint. It will also include, you know, developing research and innovation and accelerating that through the industry to enable farmers to take forward those best examples of best practice using research that we know works and will deliver financial as well as environmental benefits for farmers and growers and getting towards that net zero target in 2040 and 2050.
So, John, obviously you've seen in the press and in the consumer mindset a lot that environment is absolutely top of mind. Do you think that farming's already got a positive story to tell as well as making those great leaps into the future?
I think we've got a story to tell. Since the 1990s, that we've reduced carbon emissions, we've reduced ammonia emissions, but we've reached a bit of a plateau at the moment and we need to do more to move forwards. You know, the net zero document that was produced by the NFU was a good start and gives us another opportunity to reset performance. And maybe that's where we're at. We're looking at giving it, the industry a bit of a kickstart and and a new spur to move towards that net zero future.
That's absolutely brilliant, because understanding that our farmers have already made great traction in getting where we want to be, but we are going to hit that plateau because we're trying to do it naturally. So knowing that AHDB's environmental team are there to start looking at this science and really bringing together those opportunities of things we can change on farm to drive us towards that net zero target that's really resonated with consumers is something that's really positive to hear. Thank you, John. So, John, there's going to be some practical outcomes of this as well, which is, I believe, the first step is we're doing a carbon week quite shortly to understand really what changes and what information that we have.
Yes, we will have a week at the beginning of March where we will run a series of webinars about carbon, and we will talk about tools, how you can go about measuring your own carbon footprint and doing some myth busting around carbon and carbon reporting. We also have a program as well running now within our Farm Excellence platform where we're helping farmers undertake farm audits, and they are then getting a footprint report, and we are working with those farmers to help them understand where they can make reductions. And we also plan to communicate that information later in the year to show how on those farms those sort of action plans are relatively easy to implement, where there are problems and where they start to deliver financial benefits and returns for those farmers as well.
I think that's a really key point as well for me, is that we feel like we're under a lot of pressure from this real focus on carbon, but actually that links directly through to profitability, doesn't it?
Yes, carbon is always money, be it in the product that you buy. If it uses a lot of fuel and energy to produce it, there is a lot of carbon, and therefore that's reflected in the cost. So whatever you can do to reduce those high carbon inputs into your farm and also minimise the use of those will boost your profitability.
I think that's what I'm finding really interesting about this environment work as well for us, is that we're not just focusing on that carbon sequestration. We're looking at all sorts of different things, from genetics to productivity to what inputs go on farm, and all of those will come out with useful outputs for how farmers can not only aim for those goals, but also increase profitability and productivity on farm. So it feels like a little bit of a win-win.
It is a win-win. And we also want to help farmers think about establishing that baseline, understanding where they've got those opportunities, and also to look to the future, so that as agri-environment schemes develop and as voluntary offsetting schemes develop, they are in a prime place to be able to take hold of those opportunities and potentially generate new income streams that aren't available at the moment. So the more that they can do to understand their business and where those costs and potential opportunities are, the better place they will be for the future.
Well, that's great news. And from my understanding, that's any farming system, isn't it? It doesn't have to be some kind of plan to just be perfectly carbon neutral on the perfect farm. Each different system can make incremental gains in the way that they farm.
Exactly. And to be honest, it's very unlikely that many farms, if any at all, will be on their own able to get to net zero. It may be that you have to look at a variety of enterprises within maybe a particular farm, or there are a group of farmers that will come together in a particular catchment or landscape that will work together to achieve net zero and share some of those benefits and make themselves more resilient. And we mustn't forget that also farmers will be hit by climate change. It is also a risk to their business through increased floods and weather. And the more that they're able to work together increases the opportunities to again mitigate those impacts and build more resilience into their businesses.
That's absolutely brilliant, John. Thank you. I honestly think I could probably talk about that all day. Who knew when I joined this job that my most exciting thing would be around carbon and environment? I had no idea, but actually the closer you get to it, the more interesting it is. So thank you, John, and for all the work that you're doing. I'd like to move on now to talk to Sarah Baker, AHDB Senior Strategic Insight Manager. The strategic insight might sometimes sound within AHDB a bit of a fancy title, but actually it's about having that knowledge of trade, of the market, of consumer, and it is invaluable for the whole supply chain and for us to make decisions on what we do. So Sarah has been incredibly close to looking at this Brexit deal, working on it all the way through, and what it means for beef and lamb farmers. Sarah, could you give me a bit of a summary about what this new trade deal means and how it will impact upon us?
Hi, Rebecca, and thank you for that lovely introduction. Yes, I certainly can. I think I breathed a huge sigh of relief on Christmas Eve as the trade deal was agreed, along with an awful lot of beef and sheep farmers out there. There's no doubt that we have avoided that cliff edge, particularly for the sheep farmers of the no trade deal exit from the EU. And the new trade and cooperation agreement allows tariff and quota free access to EU markets and vice versa. So that's a very positive outcome. And I'm delighted to say that, as you say, having been very close to these negotiations and the modelling of various possible outcomes over the last 4 years, I am delighted that we've avoided probably would have been the worst case scenario of crashing out without a deal. So on that front, it is great news for the industry, but it's not business as usual. We're not carrying on exactly as we were before, because the whole point of Brexit was to leave the EU, leave the single market and leave the customs union. And what that means, despite tariff and quota-free access to the markets, we're still trading as a third country, and that entails trade friction. And what trade friction actually is export health certificates. It's the 24-hour advance notification of border inspection posts. It's the additional documentation. It's the checks, the physical checks at borders. It's having somebody check your load and certify as it is actually loaded. So those time delays, those physical time delays when you've got perishable and valuable loads are incredibly important. So that trade friction we estimate adds around 5 to 8% in terms of costs. If you're an exporter such as sheep farmers, those costs will be borne by the exporter, and therefore we see a slight depression in sheep and lamb prices. If we're an importer like beef, then we might see a slight price rise. But to be honest, that 5 to 8% is within the normal realms of market volatility for beef and sheep. Plus the fact with the significant depreciation of sterling at the moment, those will be offset, if you like, by our sterling depreciation. So there are some issues that need ironing out, and they will no doubt come out in the wash as we enter this new era of relationship with the EU. And these are things like the sanitary and phytosanitary standards around exporting sausages at the moment, for instance, and around the rules of origin. Now, these will be sorted, but they may take some time. And it's my job now to really delve into that detail and explain to what that means to our levy payers and our farmers and processors.
Oh, I mean, that's really interesting, Sarah. And yes, such good news that we're not about to fall off that cliff edge of pricing that a no deal would have brought us to. Someone once said to me that actually, even though we have got that deal, what's really interesting is we have never actually exported to the EU, because sending something into Europe was just like sending something into London. And now we're learning all over again how to actually be an exporter and an importer from the European Union, which is pretty much sums up what you've been saying about those trade frictions and the work that needs to be done. But it's really positive news that actually that's within normal trading environments, so shouldn't have too massive a bit of an impact. And from what I understand, that gives us a little bit of breathing space to look at where we will be getting big changes in the future, which is to the subsidies.
Yes, I think that's really important. Although it's a huge win for the trade deal, and as I said, I did breathe a big sigh of relief, the next big challenge is the loss of direct payments. And that's particularly important to grazing livestock, where, you know, over 95% of their income on average comes from the direct payments. We know now, we have a little bit more clarity about the rate of reduction. We know that they're going to be gone completely by 2028, and we've known for some time the first year's reduction. We now know that by 2024, if you're getting in the region of £30,000 to £50,000 in terms of direct payments, you will get roughly half of that in 2024. If you're getting substantially more, then you'll get significantly less than half. And if you want to see exactly how that will affect your direct payments, then go onto the AHD website and search for the business impact calculator. If you put in your payment that you received in December 2020, it will automatically calculate for you what you'll get in 21, 22, 23 and 24. So that's a really huge challenge. If you're looking at potentially the loss of 50% of your income or more over the next 4 years, it's important that businesses start to plan in order to mitigate those losses. Now, the bits of the jigsaw, if you like, are falling into place. One of the main bugbears over the last 4 years has been the level of uncertainty surrounding EU exit. Now we know the terms of trade, and now we know the direction of travel of direct payments and a little bit more about the policy that will replace it. It's time to start business planning and start really examining what you can do on farm in order to prepare for the inevitable change. And this to me is a fundamental difference from the resilience that beef and sheep farmers are used to dealing with on a day in, day out basis. They're an incredibly resilient bunch. If you think about what's been thrown at them for the last 20, 30 years in terms of disease, foot and mouth, BSE, TB, in terms of trade, some of the sudden loss of markets, and in terms of the weather, the extreme weather events. This is not just about resilience. This is about adaptation. And to misquote Darwin horribly, it's not the strongest, the fittest, the healthiest that will survive. It's those most adaptable to change. We need to accept the fact that change is here. It's with us. And we need to examine our businesses and our ways of working in order to adapt to that change. So I'd strongly recommend, again, a read through of the characteristics of top performers. Make sure you are in that top 25% of performers. Meet with your peers, discuss with your peers the innovation, the research and development that's coming down the pipeline, and decide whether that's relevant to your business and whether it's appropriate to adopt it. But there's no doubt the pace of change is accelerating, as it is in all other aspects of life. There's no getting away from that. And if you really want to have a profitable and viable business going forward into 2021 and beyond, you need to get with that change and really engage with it and examine it and decide what it means for your business.
That's absolutely brilliant, Sarah. And I couldn't agree more. I think it's so useful. Things like that business impact calculator, the combination of the insight that really gives us a clear view of going forwards, albeit there being massive change, the fact that we're out of that period of uncertainty and the fact that our resilient farmers have the opportunity to change and adapt for the future is a really strong thing. And I think I would hope that the AHDB tools and services, the work we're doing with you guys, the work we're doing on environment, all across the piece, will be able to support our farmers in this massive time of change. One of the things that I found interesting that both you and John mentioned throughout your pieces is actually impacts of weather conditions. And there's sometimes adverse weather conditions that we need to be prepared for and resilience. I know when I've been out in the fields this morning, it's pretty cold. What are your thoughts on that and the change in the future, Sarah?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Rebecca, because only this morning my husband was telling me that apparently there's no such thing as a harsh winter unless you're in Siberia living in a yurt. But that was he was sat by the Arga drinking a cup of tea and I was going out to feed the sheep. So it was extremely cold this morning, very, very wet here in East Anglia and very muddy. So, you know, farmers do that day in, day out. And that's what resilience is. We don't have an option. This is what we choose to do and this is what we love doing. And that level of resilience, I think, whenever I go out and talk to farmers, it brings me huge, huge positivity that we are going to survive this. We are going to transform and we are going to adapt as an industry because we're strong, resilient people.
It's interesting that you should link into that change because, like you say, our farmers are incredibly resilient and we should be really proud as an industry. But that change is necessary and that adaptation to the actual environment that we're working in could deliver some real opportunities as well as mitigate any risks. And AHDB, we're actually critically aware of that now. We're in a very different environment and we need to deliver it in a different way to our levy payers. We need to make sure we're delivering real value for money, that the levy is collected in a way that is supportive of our farmers, that the work we are doing really resonates with those changes and those adaptations that need to be made at this critical time of trading. So we've looked at our five-year strategy and our change process, and you can see in that document and in any questions that you ask of us that we are going to change to adapt to that. And we would really like your feedback to ensure that we are hearing the voices of our industry and making sure that we deliver in absolutely the right way for you. So to feedback on that change programme and on that strategy, have a look at hdb.org.uk/strategy. Feedback to us by the 31st of January. Thank you all for listening today. I think it's been really insightful. get in touch at any point about the ways that we can support those changes and those developments into the future. And I thank you for your time.